rolling.
Fratelloni's Hardware and Garden Stores brings you Garage Logic Podcast number 1283, April 9, 2024. 81 degrees on this day in 1930, 15 degrees on this day in 1997. And before I bring you the ice outs, let me tell you that if you have a lake home or a swimming pond on the property, Aquaside products will keep it free of weeds and algae and all the junk the kids don't like. Aquaside has been keeping or helping people keep great lake shores for more than 60 years with a complete line of lake and pond control products. The products work quickly. They're easy to use. I've used them. That's how easy they are to use. Yeah. They're registered with the EPA and DNR, and the products are safe. There's no need to let weeds overtake your lake or pond this summer. Get that gin-colored clear water on your swimming beach. Call Aquaside today. They'll identify your problem and get you the right products. Call Aquaside at 1-800-328-9350 or go to aquaside.com. And Aquaside brings you today's ice outs. Minnetonka went out on this day,
April 9th,
1894, 1938, 1967, 2005, and 2006. White Bear Lake went out on this day in 1966, 1967, and also on 2005 and 2006.
Hail the Flashlight King!
Hail you!
And now, from the mayor's office above the boathouse on the east shore of Spoon Lake, it's Garage Logic with Chris Reavers, manning Technology Corner, Kenny Olson from the Krabby Coffee Shop, John Hite in the newsroom, and of course, the rookie. Here is your Flashlight King, Fireworks Commissioner, and the Keeper of Common Sense, your mayor, Joe Souchere.
Before the show, we were musing about the tremendous outpouring of coverage and photographs of the eclipse yesterday. It just seemed that we were taken by it, weren't we? We were overcome.
Well, yes, they were. You yeah. and I were.
I didn't see anything here.
I saw a difference, though, when I walked out from the show, that it was darker. I knew it was darker, but there was no sun.
Well, Joe, please don't use my name. I work for a school district near and dear to Reaver's heart. Yesterday, an email came out from the principal telling teachers to keep the kids indoors in the afternoon because of the eclipse. Even if they are scheduled to go out for recess, keep them in. If they had plans to study the eclipse, they were to notify the office. She was concerned about their safety.
What?
And then she went on to say there might be a lot of Hispanic students absent because this is part of the Mayan culture. Okay.
What?
I'm not sure how we survived these 60-plus... I'm not sure how I survived these 60-plus years going through several of these. When I hear these people talking about this once-in-a-lifetime event, I'm concerned that maybe they know something I don't, because this happens again in another 21 years. Maybe it is over. All right, thank you, unnamed. What? I don't think you faced a great deal of safety risk yesterday.
Zero.
Looking up at the sun.
In a very cloud.
What? What was she getting at? What did she think was going to happen?
Your eyeballs would burn and fry and fall out of your head.
On the eclipse, may I present to you the future president of the United States of America.
Okay.
Charles Barkley.
I thought it was maybe the Chuck blimp that got in the way.
Hey. Well, y'all, some of them losers standing outside watching that today.
They're not losers.
Yes, they are.
It doesn't happen often.
Hey, we've all seen darkness before. Stop it.
No, not in the daylight.
Yeah. Come on, man.
Come on, Chuckster. Don't hate on the eclipse.
Come on,
stop it.
I saw a loser standing watching your blimp. How about that?
You all see them losers standing outside. God, where's the best?
What's the deal with the fascination? Is it just social that's made this seem like such a big deal?
It's social media.
Well, I love events of nature. I love celestial events.
Well, and you bring them to the
garage. I didn't happen to see it yesterday.
But whenever there is something like this, you bring it in a common sense. Hey, there's going to be this event, and then you're out of there.
Have you ever heard of an ABC television personality, apparently a legal analyst named Sonny Hostin?
Yeah, she's on The View.
Oh, God.
You know, Matthew. I'm going to give you a compliment. I'm going to give you a compliment. You know the kind of SH we don't know.
Right.
So yes. That's good.
Added value to the program.
That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Sonny Hostin.
I'm available for that My Talk afternoon gig, or I'm available for...
instant response is what really seals it.
He helps our female numbers, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He really ups our female demographic.
Partial transcript from The View television show. Sonny Hostin on Monday's The View, that eclipses, earthquakes, and cicadas could lead one to believe that climate change exists.
All right. What? Thank you.
I'm not done with the transcript.
I was going to ask you this question.
Sonny Hostin paid God knows how many hundreds of thousands of dollars to be on this show. Hostin, I know, right? I have to say, one of our wonderful makeup artists, when the earthquake was happening, she put her coat on and she was like, Jesus is coming. I'm out. I'm leaving. We got a solar eclipse. We've got an earthquake. She ran down the hallway. Griffin. Who's Griffin?
Kathy?
Maybe there's no...
Somebody on The View. Griffin, the rapture is here. Hostin, the rapture is here. Also, I learned that the... cicadas are coming. She pronounced it wrong. Goldberg. Who's Goldberg?
Whoopi.
Okay. Cicadas. Hostin. For the first time in 100 years, Goldberg.
No.
There's two different kinds coming. There's two different kinds of cicadas coming. Bihar. The good cicadas and the bad cicadas. This is a transcript from the show.
Griffin is what they have on the panel as the conservative female.
Hostin, this is for the first time in many, many years. Goldberg, no, every 17 years this happens. Hostin, that's not what I read, but maybe you know better.
Yeah.
Goldberg, in a way.
Yeah.
Hostin, all those things together would maybe lead one to believe that either climate change exists or something is really going on.
What?
Bihar, earthquakes are not at the mercy of climate change. It's underground. Goldberg, Jesus, God in heaven, I'm praying. Goldberg, the eclipse, and they've known about the eclipse coming because eclipses happen and they actually can say when these things are going to happen. So all these folks who are saying, you know, it's a sign from God, God doesn't give you a warning. Okay, you think he gave people at the Tower of Babel a warning? Oh, I'm about to jack you all up. No, God does stuff, and then you figure, oh.
Wow.
Wait a minute. Didn't he actually
God,
did?
God, will you take pity on us, please? Would you
very moving.
Would you excuse us? Would you forgive us for this?
For they do not know what they...
They really don't know what they're doing.
Come on down off the cross. We need the wood, huh?
God, forgive us. I'm serious. Just forgive us this, that this show's on TV. Could you just maybe on your ledger,
and
could you just cross that one out?
Whoopi is the brain on that program?
Sounds like it. She's the smart one.
The voice of reason in that conversation.
I think we have a new segment in GL, the Daily View transcript reading.
Well, you get me the transcript every day, and I might read it, but this Kathy, or Sonny Hostin, Sonny, S-U-N-N-Y.
Yes.
She's there. Legal analyst.
She's a very hardcore liberal.
She's an educated lawyer, and she tried to link earthquakes and the eclipse to climate change.
Seems legit.
My God.
He's looking for something. I wonder what it could be.
It's the end of the world as we know it.
We can't play that anymore.
And I do not feel fine.
Well, my music's gone. None of this stuff seems to work. So that's typical.
It's because of the eclipse.
Climate change. The cicadas.
Yeah.
All of that stuff you just read me from that program. I didn't need to know any of that,
nope.
Joe. That just brought, now I'm a little bit dumber than I was 5 minutes ago.
Well, not only didn't you need to know it, but it was all wrong.
Exactly. Exactly.
Let me know before you, are you going to stay with the eclipse? Because I have more audio on that.
Well, go ahead. I'm about to change, but we haven't yet. So go ahead.
I am going to let you in on Representative from Texas. Her name is Sheila Jackson, Joe. Mm-hmm. She represents Texas's 18th district. She offered up thoughts on the eclipse yesterday.
Provide unique light and energy so that you have the energy of the moon at night.
Yep.
And sometimes you've heard the word full moon. Sometimes you need to take the opportunity just to come out and see a full moon is that complete rounded circle, which is made up mostly of gases.
Not really.
And that's why the the question is why or how could we as humans live on the moon?
Yep.
Right.
Are the gases such that we could do that?
No.
The sun is a mighty powerful heat.
It is.
It's almost impossible. To go near the sun.
The moon is more manageable.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
And you will see in a moment, or not a moment, you'll see in a couple of years that NASA is going back to the moon.
All right.
Cool.
So, wait a minute.
That got hold of the wrong stuff.
Stop a second. So the good people of Texas elected this person?
Sure did.
She's holding an office. We should hook her up with the guy that thinks the island is going to tip over. They would make a good couple.
The whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
We don't anticipate that.
And they live happily ever after.
You know what? Answer your question, Ken. She is representing the Houston area. So
you know
once
what?
Again, closer to the country's tallest.
Rook, look her up. Sheila Jackson, Houston. You know what?
I got it right here. If you...
We don't have a country. We don't. We used to. And there's always been dummies. But our dummies are on a new level. This is a new level of dummies.
We got new dummies.
What we're learning, or at least what I'm learning, again, against my will, that the squad, Ocasio-Cortez, the nut from Riverside, and all, they're not rare at all.
Nope.
We have people like them all over the country in offices of power.
She has 2 degrees.
Yale, in what?
She has a BA from Yale.
Well, that tells you all you need to know about that failed academy.
And she also has a degree from the University of Virginia.
Also failed. Do we know what the degrees are
Juris
in?
Juris Doctoris.
My God, she's a lawyer?
Yeah.
Wow.
Sunny Houston or whatever the hell her name is. Sunny.
Wow.
Sunny the bathroom.
And those law degrees were both acquired before we lowered the standards.
Right.
Wow.
She is married to Elwin Lee, married in 1973, 2 kids.
Yeah, Elwin, huh? How long has she been serving us?
She's been in office since 1990.
Wow.
Oh, forever. Wow. She's been around forever. Yeah,
we're not heading for our demise. We're living at rock bottom right now.
We don't have a country.
It cannot get worse.
If you have a TV show in which a lawyer is telling you that an eclipse makes you wonder about climate change, and if you have a legislature that has a woman who's worried that the moon is made completely of gas,
but you can regulate it and control it more so than the sun,
and it's almost impossible to get near the sun.
Right.
Well, no, it is impossible. It's not almost. You don't need almost, Sheila. It's impossible. It produces a lot of heat. The sun. We have no country. We are awash on the rocks of destruction. We are washed up on the rocks of desperation. We have nothing going for us.
The heat got on.
You dug yourself a hole. I'm
trying to find that. But you know what? You mentioned the social media aspect of the eclipse, and that's largely why I think a lot of people decided to gather. But that's the whole reason why you don't need to waste your time. Some of the most stunning things you'll see about the eclipse are on social media.
Okay, survey, Matthew, was the eclipse a big deal in your house yesterday, leading up to yesterday?
No.
What about your boys, Chris?
Only because they had to do a school writing assignment about it. But other than that, it was barely mentioned. In fact, my wife didn't even know about it.
John, did Dill tear up when he found out it was going to be cloudy? He wasn't going to be able to watch the eclipse?
No, we had I don't think we even had a conversation about the eclipse.
So we're a real bitter, cynical group.
No. I wanted my little girls to see it. They were anticipating it. It would have been fun for them, but they were deprived by climate change produced the clouds, and the sun didn't shine.
Cicadas.
And there were cicadas and earthquakes.
Blocking it. They were blocking the sky.
Yeah.
I did go back to the last total eclipse, 2017, and there was some stuff in the paper, but not as much, I don't think, as...
It's funny you did that. I was going to ask you to go back to 2017 and see if the hysteria measured yesterday. It probably did to a certain extent. Is that correct?
There's on the page two thing on Star Tribune, there's a large article.
There were some beautiful photographs today.
John, can you use your newspaper app and go way back? Find one in the 30s or 40s, whenever.
We'll see what I can find.
I got a quote from a guy saying, huh, look at
that.
What
the hell was that?
I think I stumbled upon
it. It's the rapture.
Well, that's Marjorie, remember?
Well, it's not only Marjorie, it's the women on The View.
Yeah, it's the rapture.
I think I may have accidentally stumbled on it. Why you think it's a big deal? Is it a big deal because for so many people, it's an easy distraction from real life?
It beats working.
Yeah.
Somebody,
I don't know, it's just fun. They're fun. It happens every... They're infrequent enough for it to be a big deal. I have no problem with that.
Was that you yesterday, Chris, that proposed that it was on behalf of the Biden administration to distract us from what he's doing?
No, but that would have been... I would have loved to come up with that one.
This year, at least, we didn't get any news of parents asking the school to reschedule the eclipse because their kids had doctor appointments.
I forgot about that one. Was that here? Was that local?
No, it could have been, but no, it was somewhere else. It doesn't make any difference. We don't have a country.
Joe, what we need is like when you go to Vegas and you see a comedian and he has shows at 5 p.m., 9 p.m., and midnight. Yeah. That's what we need.
Could you please reschedule it?
I got to
Don't even have 50 states anymore. We're all one state of idiocy. We're just all blended together as complete fools. Morons. Fools.
I have it right here. August 10th of 2017. At least that's when the story was
updated. That's when we had the eclipse.
Dallas, Texas.
There you go.
A mother. I'm trying to find it. Oh, it was a request on Facebook.
Yep.
My kids go back to school that day, she wrote, then helpfully suggested, can it be done on the weekend instead?
Right. Could you have the eclipse on the weekend?
More convenient.
We're no longer functioning. People no longer can put two and two together. It's over. We are done.
Most kids go back to school that day.
Yeah. Can't you do it on a weekend?
There's no way that's real. That has to be fake.
Oh, no,
Chris.
Kenny. That's real.
There's a way.
That's real.
Don't do that to me.
No, that's real.
Don't do that.
August 3rd, 12:01 p.m. Well, Joe, it seems like a legitimate question. Yeah. Can it be done on the weekend?
What'd you find, John?
I went back to January 24, 1925.
Yeah.
Okay, which was a total eclipse that actually was available to see from here. And the front page of the Minneapolis Daily Star is full of eclipse stories.
Good. Okay, good. Good. All right.
Yeah. That's almost 99 years ago, right? Yeah, 99 years. Yeah. So
I'm not involved in that.
20 millions vote eclipse, great show. Quakes due to follow eclipse, says Padre.
Why do you say eclipse?
What kind of hayseed are you?
It's eclipse.
Eclipse.
Christopher Walken.
Eclipse.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Hey, why don't you go play with your robot?
Yeah, I do have a problem with that word.
You do with robot.
Not as bad as you have a problem with the word boom.
Boom. There were no bombs on this day.
Say, Kaylin Bloom, a daughter of Tim at EcoFun Motorsport, she's hosting an e-bike demo day this Saturday. It's supposed to be 70 degrees. I've told you about the parking lot at EcoFun Motorsports. It's a proving grounds for electric bikes. EcoFun in Forest Lakes, right on 97, just immediately west of 35E. You can test and ride the newest Yamaha, Bentelli, Scootstar electric bikes, preseason sale price is still in effect. Yamaha electric bikes are at the dealer invoice, and they come with a 5-year warranty. And Yamaha, you know what Yamaha's doing?
What do you got?
Threw in a second battery for free on their newest models. Mm. It's a $2,000 value.
Wow.
Get in there and get fitted for the correct bike. That's the key. You won't leave there without the correct fit, the handlebars, the tires, the seat, the whole deal. Kalen's an expert. And the Forest Lake store is now the home of the new Yamaha Wave Runners and Kawasaki Ski Jets. The showroom has a great selection in stock. I'll tell you, it's a danger to go there because I can't go there without spending some money.
Jet ski.
Yeah. No, it didn't say jet ski. I'm sorry, it did. Kawasaki jet ski. What did I say? Oh, whatever. It's a Kawasaki jet ski.
It's Eclipse.
Kawasaki Mule off-road utility wheels are on sale. And that was a March Madness sale that was still on.
The Macho Man says it was March Madness.
Mention GL. They'll honor that extra discounted price until the end of April. They come with the industry-leading 3-year warranty. Because they're the best quality workhorses in the industry. Scooters, you know what?
Tim, I'm glad Tim is such a good idea.
I got the tooth is in, and I talk better with the tooth out. But if I take the tooth out, they wouldn't want me at EcoFun.
I lose control, yeah. Yeah. All they would do is stare.
EcoFun Motorsports.
And point.
Motorsports.
Is in Forest Lake.
Can you say Eclipse?
Eclipse. How's that?
Sorry, Tim.
It's also in Burnsville on the Service Road of Life near County Road 42. It's a playground is what it is. It's a great playground. Get in there and don't leave until you've test driven and been properly fitted for the right stuff.
Warm, sunny days are calling, and it's time to fuel up for them with Factor's No Prep, No Mess meals. You'll feel and look better for summer thanks to the chef-crafted meals from Factor with options like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. 35 different meals with more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week. Factor's meals are fresh, never frozen, dietitian approved, and ready to heat in just 2 minutes. The ingredients are restaurant quality featuring premium ingredients like my favorite filet mignon, shrimp, or blackened salmon. From breakfast to dessert, stay fueled with easy, nutritious options. Choose from 6 menu preferences from Factor to help you manage calories, maximize protein intake, and simply eat well balanced. Head to factormeals.com/garagelogic50 and use code garagelogic50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code garagelogic50 at factormeals.com/garagelogic50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active.
Esteemed town council members, we are headed back to Target Field Thursday, May 9th to play a little hooky. You can join the crew and cabinet members as we take over Target Field when Minnesota takes on Seattle. Thursday, May 9th, it's a day game. It's the town council Target Field takeover. Tickets are free for town council members on a first-come, first-served basis. Claim yours right now at GarageLogic.com. Not a town council member? Not a problem. Just join the council and then claim your tickets. Learn more and claim your tickets today online at GarageLogic.com.
Hello.
Here's a man who spends hours in hardware stores sifting through the nuts and bolts of life. Joe Souchere.
GLers, if you missed the Liberty Safe sale on the Fatboy Junior Extreme and the Colonial 23 that ended yesterday, don't worry, fear not. Liberty Safe will roll out another sale here shortly. It's what they do. Basically save you money on the best safe in the United States. Meanwhile, like I've been urging, hit up the new relaunched MapleGroveLockAndSafe.com website. And if you need anything at all related to locks or keys, Rich at Maple Grove Lock and Safe, easily the best choice in town. 40 years in the business for Rich. That means he's the best in the metro, period. And when it comes to protecting what matters to you, your valuables, Maple Grove Lock and Safe, they carry the aforementioned Liberty Safe. It's made right here in the United States. Best warranty in the business. Fully transferable. That's a hell of a sales point. If you need to upgrade and sell the safe you have, fully transferable. Yeah. Hello?
Are you borrowing Joe's tooth?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, good saves.
Fine.
Best fire protection in the business, too, and best selection. And GLers, if you need a small or quick combo safe to keep the, you know, on the nightstand, maybe the desk drawer or the vehicle, Rich always offers GLers 15% off all small, quick combo and key vaults. Maple Grove Lock and Safe right there in Maple Grove, 6901 East Fish Lake Road, and that new website, MapleGroveLockAndSafe.com.
Yesterday, I mentioned an urban farm called Frogtown Farm in St. Paul. They're having some money problems. They produce about 70 pounds of food per $500,000. I also note that I have an email from someone who was demanding an apology from me. Chris writes, on Monday's podcast, you read a story from the Pioneer Press about an urban farm in the Frogtown neighborhood of St. Paul. You then went on to add more color, probably for those who might not be familiar with the Frogtown neighborhood, and you said you can also call it the North End. I take exception. I'm a GLer who grew up on the North End, just blocks from Dale and Arlington. And trust me, that's well north of the Frogtown neighborhood. And I can assure you that us true North Enders never considered ourselves as part of Frogtown. Frogtown and the North End are two totally different neighborhoods. My poor mother, God rest her soul, would never ever have said she raised her children in Frogtown. I demand a full retraction and apology to all the former and current North Enders. I stand with you. Harumph, harumph.
Harumph.
Chris, former North Ender, now living in Hugo, right down the road from Spencer and the Grundhoffers.
Lucky.
Why are St. Paulites so sensitive about St. Paul? Is it because you're always second place to the best city in Minnesota, that being Minneapolis?
No, I don't think that's the answer. I think St. Paul people tend to identify by neighborhood. No, actually, St. Paul people tend to identify by parish.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Where'd you grow up? Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now, let me tell you.
You're all Catholics.
We learned yesterday that the urban farm situation has a lot of trouble. And Kenny, to his credit, did a deep dive, and he went in and found their financial snapshot. And what you learn is alerting me to something we can apply on a larger scale the closer we get to the country's tallest buildings in this country. They spend a lot of money and don't grow a lot of food.
Total revenue, $151,553. Total expenses, $342,330.
They spend $223,000 on programming.
Well, what is that?
That's not growing food. They spend $86,000. I'm rounding these off. They spend $86,000 on management. They spend $33,000 on fundraising. I think what activists do, well, then we go over to here, we get their page on community engagement and empowerment. Well, they do a lot of meaningless things that have nothing to do with growing food.
Yeah, they do.
So they have a Friday night film, and they have a Juneteenth celebration. They have Prairie Concrete. What the hell is that? The interactive workshop focused on the natural environment of Frogtown, blending music, art, and performance to create a unique and immersive experience. It showcased local talent and fosters a deeper appreciation of our surroundings.
Question for you. What does that have to do with growing cucumbers so you can can pickles? What does that have to do with that?
It doesn't. And what I'm alerted to, this is a microscopic look at a much larger problem in the country. And that is, activists are very good at getting money. And basically what they do with the money is sustain themselves.
Yeah.
They don't accomplish anything for their so-called community.
No.
They claim to, but they're really not accomplishing anything. But they're very good at grant writing.
Wow.
They're very good at holding their hand out, and they're very good at virtue signaling. And then guilty people, mostly white, give them piles of money, which they use to rent a house or rent an apartment or go to the grocery store. And then once in a while, they put out a paper saying, we believe in imagination and we foresee a better future. They'll throw you some boilerplate every once in a while. In the meantime, the money is rolling in. That's what they do for a living, is be a professional activist. Basically, what they do for a living is seek and achieve money.
Yeah.
They don't accomplish anything.
I brought up some ways to make money yesterday, and one of them they actually do. They do have occasional sales on Saturdays. But anybody who's ever raised a garden, you don't have to be special. You don't have to be a farmer or have a green thumb. It's pretty easy to raise a garden and raise vegetables that will sustain you throughout the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what their main goal should be. And I believe they're doing harm to the people of Frogtown for not focusing on that. They could not only take care of all of their expenses, but they could feed a lot of people in Frogtown if they just dropped all the BS and just had a 5-acre garden. Are you kidding me? That's bigger than what the Amish do. That's huge.
And the other thing that they do is they nurture the arts, culture, and wellness. Okay.
What does that have to do with
growing a carrot?
No.
And so what they do is there's all of these groups, the closer you get to the country's tallest buildings, they all have the same boilerplate template they use for their writing. They have to nurture. They're passionate. They reimagined. There's community wellness. There's a betterment. And they use all these same words, and saps, write them money, or write them checks.
So is there,
and they use the checks to just live.
Is there a distinction between charities and activism?
Yes.
Because if you donate to Feed My Starving Children or Second Stork, you're giving money and you're going to get a result.
But because I'm a student of this as your mayor, I'm very careful who I give money to. For example, it would never have crossed my mind to give money to the Frogtown Farm.
I wouldn't either.
There's much more reliable and competent people to give the money to.
Kids or cancer. Right. Kids are cancer.
That's
number
why
one.
I always try to do my research, and I just don't give money to anybody.
Okay, now listen to this. Now take this to a higher level.
Okay, we'll bring it up a step.
We have in this country activist groups, the closer you get to the country's tallest buildings, that are all uniformly, we thought it was here, uniformly dedicated to getting rid of freeways. Urban freeways. We have a group in Minneapolis called Our Streets.
Our Streets.
And they get paid to do nothing. Imagine that. They're getting grants and money to supposedly champion a case that'll never happen. So why are they getting money? Now you go to Milwaukee. I'm alerted to Milwaukee. We want to get rid of I-794.
Okay.
Because we can reconnect downtown Milwaukee. I think Sanibel sent me this, so I did a lot of homework on it. And what we have is a group that wishes to raise I-794 between the Hone Bridge and just west of the Milwaukee River to disperse traffic throughout downtown, said Kaylor Korslund, a freeway removal advocate. And then you've got other people who've come up with and tried to find out who are they, because their group is called Rethink 794.
Okay. Where did they get that?
That's part of the template. And I can't nail them down individually. When you go to Who Are We, you get, we are 1,000 Friends of Wisconsin.
Okay.
We promote land use policies and activities that advance healthy communities. That's in the template. Positive economic outcomes and environmental benefits. They haven't accomplished anything, but they're getting paid. 1,000 Friends advocates for transportation options that are clean, equitable, and cost-effective, right out of the template. We believe that a disproportionate focus on automobiles has encouraged sprawl, unsustainable land use patterns, and contributed to transportation being the largest source of climate change and carbon emissions in the U.S. Right out of the template. Every big city in the country has a group trying to get rid of the freeways. Our goal is to move Wisconsin towards a balanced, cost-effective, equitable transportation system that discourages sprawl and accelerates the decarbonization of the transportation sector. Right out of the template.
Yep. Yep. It's part of the movement to get rid of suburbs.
And they're not accomplishing anything. Today, I-794 poses an unnecessary barrier. No, it gets people back and forth. But it doesn't have to be this way. And it goes on and on and on. I got all their literature here. I've got their pictures, which are as gorgeous as the ridiculous rendering that appeared on the cover of the Star Tribune the other day. Was it Sunday?
What, I think it was Friday, wasn't it?
Well, whatever, Friday.
Last weekend.
And it showed how beautiful everything would be, never mind that it wouldn't work. It's not going to work. And they want to connect Lake Michigan to the neighborhood. Not much you can do about Lake Michigan.
This, Joe, we're talking about a major, 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 major thoroughfare. It hooks up I-43 and I-94. And the Spaghetti Junction there is bigger than any Spaghetti Junction.
I'm terribly familiar with it. I've driven it 100 times.
It's huge. And then it gets to the lake and it takes a right turn and follows the goes south, follows the lake shore.
Now, they're claiming that Milwaukee leads freeway removal movement. There has never been a freeway to boulevard conversion project that did not enhance business activity and quality of life. Well, we don't know that because I'm unaware of a freeway boulevard conversion.
We don't know that.
Milwaukee has helped pioneer urban freeway removal by demolishing the Park East Freeway, and spurring over $1 billion in private investment. I don't know anything about that. Notable freeway removals have also occurred in San Francisco and Rochester, by which I think they mean Rochester, New York. Now, our effort to rethink 794 is part of a larger movement across the nation with cities looking to create prosperity by removing dangerous, expensive freeways. I'm surprised the R Streets people did not hook their wagon to this in the belief that that would have given them extra credibility.
No, I bet you anything they have a yearly convention somewhere, and they sit around and get ass-faced and compare notes.
And then SAPs paid for that by sending them money.
You know who started, Matthew, you probably don't know who started this craze. It's really easy. You can trace it back to Hunter S. Thompson running for, was it sheriff or mayor of Aspen?
Sheriff.
I think it was sheriff.
Pitkin County in Woody Creek. And part of his plan, his platform, was to tear up the streets in Aspen and replace them with sod. Grass.
Yeah, but he was a drug-addled maniac.
Yeah. And a part of his platform had something to do with free drugs, right?
Yes.
Because drug dealers were criminals?
Yeah. So, folks, it's happening. All the freeway terror uppers are Frogtown farm people squared.
It'd be interesting.
That's what it is.
I wonder if Milwaukee has an open streets thing where they also close down boulevards and avenues and major thoroughfares and throw a one-day party with bands.
Yes, because they have a huge Summerfest, and that involves closing the streets.
But Summerfest doesn't count, just like Grand Old Days doesn't count. I'm talking about smaller neighborhood.
Oh, I'm sure they do.
At random dates.
But we've learned recently that that's even failing in Minneapolis. The Save Our Streets people who are in charge of closing some streets can't get their ass together and can't get any streets closed this summer.
You think with all the people on the payroll,
really,
they'd be able to come up with that?
I did get an email from one of the Save the Streets members that we talked about.
Okay.
And he said, please never mention my name again. I'm getting some grief. And I emailed back and said, got it. Don't worry, I won't ever mention your name again.
There are a lot of street fests in Milwaukee. I just opened it up. June 9, Locust Street between North Holton Street and North Humboldt is the Locust Street Festival. We have the Summer Solstice on East North Avenue near North Farwell on June 15.
John, who's the promoter of this? Is it like an open streets organization? Or are these something that have traditionally been they've been doing for years and years?
It might be traditional. It's a story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and it just has a list of all the city fests and fairs, and about a third of them are street fests, it looks like, what they list.
All right.
You know, I've been advising you, if you're tired of the BS we're putting up with in Minnesota, you might consider Sioux Falls, but I'm just going to be candid. Probably got some streets that close in Sioux Falls once in a while.
I mean, but they like freeways, I bet.
It happens.
I bet they like freeways.
I don't know. Do they have any to tear up?
They got one.
A 29 blasts right through their I-90.
I just drove 90 the other day. 90
goes right by.
Okay, Minnesota has the 45th worst tax climate in the U.S. Sioux Falls is in South Dakota, the second best tax climate in the U.S. That's just one reason why, no matter what size business you own, or if you're thinking about starting a new one, or you want to rebuild, maybe you want to increase your profits in Sioux Falls. I'm going to miss you, but you can still listen to us, see, because it's a podcast.
Yes, anywhere.
And you get everything you need to know at SiouxFallsDevelopment.com. That's one word. SiouxFallsDevelopment.com. Safer streets, award-winning schools, short commutes, vibrant growing downtown, and a pro-business attitude, which certainly would be refreshing compared to these complete morons who are destroying the Twin Cities. It's a motivated workforce, too. Check it out. If you want to expand or relocate, consider Sioux Falls at SiouxFallsDevelopment.com.
You know, the investment game can be awfully tricky, especially in these volatile times. And that's why you need the best and also somebody that you can trust. And that's why I rely on Josh Arnold. We know him as Mr. Money Talk around these parts, and he's here for you. So give him a call today for that free 48-minute no obligation consultation by dialing 952-925-5608. 952-925-5608. Josh has been at this a long time with a track record of success, and he's here to help you. So give him a call today. No obligation. That's right. No obligation. It's absolutely free. 952-925-5608. And tell them you heard about them here on the Garage Logic Podcast.
Investment services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC, a security investment advisor. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk. All comments and opinions are Josh Arnold's and do not constitute investment advice.
Chris Reavers is a paid endorser.
Joe Souchere.
Hey, there he is.
Ooh, flashlight. Like it. Check. Tool belt. Check. Attitude. Check. He's going in. Joe Souchere.
North American Banking Company. I actually have to stop later today at North American Banking Company to make a deposit. You know what?
Another
I made the switch.
Another overdraft?
Yeah.
Okay.
I got the notification via text.
Okay, good.
Here's why they're great. They're locally owned. That means that loan decisions are made right here in the Twin Cities as well. So, listen, if you're thinking about making the switch because you're tired of your big national bank, I cannot recommend them highly enough. They're personable. It's banking done differently. They offer the same online and mobile banking options as the other banks, but you are going to get the service of a community bank. They've been at it since 1998, and they made a promise to deliver a better banking experience for their customers, where you know your banker and they know you. And while a lot has changed since then, this commitment to being a true community bank in the Twin Cities, that has not. Six locations to serve you. Mine's in Roseville, but you can also see them at 50th and France, Hastings, Woodbury, Shoreview, and their new location in Maple Grove. NABankCo.com is their website if you'd like to learn more. That's NABankCo.com. North American Banking Company, member FDIC, is an equal housing lender.
John Haidt.
Thank you, Joe. This news update brought to you by North American Banking Company. And as so often happens, Joe, when I go to newspapers.com, I'm fascinated by the writing.
Yes.
So I have to share just a couple of these. Wonderful. From the front page on the Eclipse, 1925. What paper is this? The Minneapolis Daily Star. Minneapolis won a last-minute victory in its battle of generations today. It saw the eclipse. 300,000 saw it lined up and crowded on every available hilltop observation tower and office building. The weather hoodoo fought hard, but lost.
Really?
There wasn't the weird darkness of the total eclipses. Minneapolis was way too far south this time. They saw the sight that made crusaders of the Middle Ages shudder with fear of a divine sign, a white-hot crescent, the blade of a scimitar slowly thrusting its point above the eastern bank of clouds.
He's building.
Who wrote it?
There is no byline of these stories. Not a one. That's just one story. And then my other favorite one, before an awe-stricken audience of 20 million persons, so this is obviously a national story, yeah. Dateline's New York, they stage their blah, blah, blah. And then you get to the next paragraph. It began at 8 o'clock when the moon first nibbled at the sun's disk.
Nibbled. Yes. Num, 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 num.
That's a sentence you have to be very careful reading, by the way.
Jesus.
Reached the point of a total eclipse. Plunging the entire metro of New York City into darkness.
Matthew, you could be on that show with Behar and Whoopi.
Wow.
I'd love to have that. That'd be a payday.
There's about four more, but I'm not going to read them all. There is one about the animals.
I got some other stuff going.
John, it's eclipse, not eclipse.
What am I saying? Am I still saying
Fargo?
Eclipse?
Where are you from?
Eclipse. Eclipse.
You're going, you got the pronunciation wrong.
He's from Mandan.
You got the emphasis on the wrong syllable, the whole deal.
Emphasis? The emphasis?
You got the emphasis on the wrong syllable.
Okay, you guys say it again.
Eclipse.
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 And I'm saying eclipse?
Yep.
Yeah, like e-bike.
Eclipse. Like
yeah.
Email.
Eclipse. Eclipse.
Ooh, is it E-Dyna?
Or
is it E-Dyna?
John,
is it
look at me.
E-Dyna.
Eclipse.
Yes, Joe.
Eclipse.
Eclipse.
Yeah.
Eclipse.
There you go.
No, even Joe is saying it wrong. Eclipse.
No, I'm not saying it wrong. It's
you barely hit the E. Eclipse.
Eclipse.
You get your haircut at Great Clips.
John, look
this
at me.
Eclipse.
Yes. Fufitas.
Fufitas. I got it.
Can you settle down, please?
I don't know.
Into the news now. A bill hoping to end the theft of copper wire from Minnesota cities is moving forward at the state capitol. Yesterday, the House Committee, Commerce Committee, supported the plan, which requires sellers to be licensed by the state. While the committee agreed copper theft was a problem, some are pushing back against a licensure plan. According to Jeremy Estenson, who's with the Institute of Scrap Recycling Industries, he said, I might just throw it into the garbage if my only other option is to spend $250 or recycle. I understand that the option to recycle still exists. The bill ultimately passed, now heads to the Ways and Means Committee. Similar proposal is also making its way through the Senate. Will be heard today. Yes, sir.
So the weight of this proposal is placed on the people who don't steal the copper wire.
That's correct.
And then secondly, isn't theft already illegal? Why do we need new legislation?
As far as I knew.
Kids, it's illegal to steal the copper wire from a street lamp. End of story.
Boom.
There's a new plan for the burned-out 3rd Police Precinct in Minneapolis, this one coming from the city. Minneapolis City Ops Officer Margaret Anderson Kelleher told the City Council Committee of the Whole yesterday, the city is planning on cleaning up the old building and using it for voter and election services and community space. The committee voted 8-3 to delay action on the proposal for 2 weeks. Not all the council members wanted any action delayed. Andrea Jenkins said there'd been enough talk and it was time to fix the old 3rd Precinct building because it's been 4 years since it was torched during the rioting following the murder of George Floyd. Jenkins said, we continue to call ourselves progressives, and yet we don't progress?
That's what he said.
Yeah. Progress.
No progress.
And it's very disheartening. Your gal, City Council Member Latricia Vito, agreed, also wanted a vote to move the plan forward. She said we're tasked with moving forward, not staying stuck. If the City Council approves the plan in 2 weeks, more community engagement would start in the spring and cleanup of the old 3rd Precinct building would start this summer.
Rational human beings would have had this settled 3 years ago. Give them a year following George Floyd. It would have been remodeled and some new sheetrock and new windows for about $5 million. And it's the 3rd Precinct of Minneapolis. And if that traumatizes you, go bleep yourself. End of story.
Yeah. According to to data from the Minnesota Department of Public Safety, the new specialty blackout license plate option is becoming a fast favorite. An array of new specialty plates first became available for sale January 1st, and the minimalist blackout design, which you've probably seen a lot of them.
Yeah,
all black field with white letters and a white Minnesota outline.
Yeah,
52,304 of those plates have been purchased so far this year. Through Monday, blackout plates have been the most common selection aside from the standard passenger vehicle plates. Designs were also made for Minnesota professional sports teams. Here's how that's going. The Vikings have been the most popular with 1,930 plates, followed by the Wild with 889 and the Twins with 772. Other specialty plates introduced in 2024 include designs to support missing and murdered Indigenous relatives, 711 plates sold, and Lions Club International, which has 75 plates sold. Yes, sir, again.
I'm of the understanding that when you, if you have a specialty plate, and you take your car to the dealer to exchange it for a new car, you get to keep your plate.
You do.
You That's leave correct. The you leave the lot with your old license plate on the car.
Didn't know You're that. Correct.
Now, yes. Would that be true of the black plates? Are they considered a specialty plate?
I don't know.
Yes, right, aren't they?
Well, I then the state's I'm surprised because the state's costing itself a lot of money if you don't have to if you don't have to ever get another plate except that black plate one. No wonder there's 50,000 of them.
No, I think you have to pay it.
When I would imagine you would. Yeah.
I can use this opportunity to. I have found something in this topic to bitch about, something that makes me unhappy.
Okay.
And it's been driving me crazy for a number of years. When this state went from the stamped license plate to the printed license plate, we no longer have those stamped out license plates.
The raised ones.
The raised ones. They were stamped. And I think they were done over in Stillwater by the criminals and felons and bad guys over there. And I really, really love those license plates.
Those guys did a hell of a job, didn't they?
They did, and they have dual purpose. If you saved them, and then you have maybe some floor vents, you know, some rust holes, some vents in the floor of your truck.
Rivet them in there.
Yeah, done.
Yeah.
Is it a bad idea if it works?
Yeah.
The the neighbor kid... got the personalized plates John was talking about, Viking themed, and his said Kirko on it, and he just got those at the beginning of the year, and I said, hey, how's that
how's that working out for you, kiddo?
He should go ahead and update Kirko. Bye-bye.
What's the old mean, Kirko?
It was one of the nicknames given to him by a teammate.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Because he signed with another team.
I don't know anything about that.
No.
And the organizers behind the Uptown Art Fair have decided to cancel this year's festival, citing challenges related to construction.
You mean crime and the fact that no one... Yeah.
No construction on Hennepin Avenue.
Sure.
The first phase of the long-planned rebuild began last
week. I'm
sure
that's the reason.
I went to one of those once.
Chris, you think that's
good art?
You think that's the reason for everything?
You don't think Uptown has issues?
I wasn't going to say that.
No, they're rebuilding the street.
Chris, I got to jump on your case for a second. Okay. Downtown Minneapolis is doing very, very well right now. Very well.
Okay.
The first phase of this construction.
You can't get a lift, but it's...
It began last week, closing down Hennepin between 26th and Lake Streets. The closures should last throughout the summer. That'll take up pretty much the largest part of the art fair's usual footprint. Organizers say they had contemplated downsizing and keeping the event to Minneapolis Park and Rec Board property on the mall, but decided the event's integrity would be compromised.
I got an idea.
Oh, go!
Let's do a show. It's different than so-called Positive Thursday, which hasn't been positive in 15 years.
Right.
Let's do a show where we see only the positive in things. Like Kenny just said, downtown Minneapolis, I don't know where he's dreaming this up, but he's saying downtown Minneapolis is thriving right now. It's in great shape.
Chris, you really let me down. I really thought you were going to bite on that hook.
I was about to respond because I took the boys to the Twins game last night. We wanted to watch
Ohtani. I was going to bring that up.
Yeah. And I know it's a Monday, but
nobody liked my idea, did they?
Well, it'll last.
Well, it was called Positive Thursday, and it's your fault we don't do it. I mean,
even though it's got a sponsor.
Yeah.
But I was quite stunned at how I basically breezed in and out of downtown at 6:45.
A guy could get a seat in that ballpark yesterday.
Kenny, I bought 3 tickets for me and the boys, and I don't even think I spent $30.
Why the lack of interest?
The weather. You paid $6 a ticket.
But then you got
that's $18.
But then you got your fees, you see.
Did you go see my sister at the bar?
What fees?
Okay.
You got fees associated on the secondary markets.
Oh, I thought maybe you bought them off somebody standing outside.
Uh-uh.
Oh.
No.
Why don't we?
It was weather related, Ken. That's why there was no
weather. Interest. Weather was awful.
Yeah.
Weather related?
Rook, weather related?
Yes. That's right.
Something. Wow. Thank you for that huge softball of a question lead in. I'll tell you, when it's weather related, you rely on your air conditioning unit, your heating unit, and even your air purification system. You want to be breathing that wonderful, wonderful clean air. You want to make sure that microphone's not sitting right in the belly of your crotch there while you're walking around. And you want to make sure that you check in with Welter Heating in Minneapolis. They are in the Twin Cities. They serve the Twin Cities metro area and have for the last 120 years. Four generations. And they have changed with the technology. That's why they require that their technicians be certified so they know what the red wire and blue wire and green wire is supposed to do for your heating unit, your air conditioning unit. Again, if you left it to chance, you rolled the dice and you put away that air conditioning unit or covered it, even though it was making some funny noises, get in touch with them right now. They'll tune it all up and get it ready for those 85-degree hot, humid days. And finish strong with your heating unit. If you have skated through it right now and it's working properly at 60 degrees or whatever the case may be, you want to make sure it's ready for those cold, cold fall and winter for next year. 612-825-6867. That's the phone number where a human being answers the telephone during business hours. The Wide-Eyed Joe Souchere looking about time right now. Thinking about 64, 65. Welterheating.com. Air, condition, and heat your shelter with the long-winded Ray Ann Welter.
Rolling. Gentlemen, here we go.
Well, that doesn't work.
Has it for years.
None of them are working.
You're kidding me.
Rook, do a liner.
The Earth is not your mother. The Joe Souchere Show.
ProTurf can do that for you. Trees, shrubs, perennials, rock sod. Do any of these items give you any ideas for that backyard of yours? How about concrete pavers? They're really cool. You can use natural stone pavers. Need a fire pit? Need a driveway, walkway, retaining wall? What about a mulch bed? You've been thinking about that? Water features, ponds, streams, fountains. I had two ideas, only two ideas. They were more like demands when ProTurf came to do my backyard. Get rid of those stupid bushes and put some kind of patio right here. And they really surpassed my wildest dreams. It really made my ghetto backyard the wonderful feature
my ghetto
of the property.
Backyard.
He had stove back there and a toilet.
Oh,
bowl.
It was awful, Matthew. No. ProTurf is a certified landscape designer. They're going to work with you to design your project using digital photography, imaging software. You'll see what it looks like before it's even started. And if you're short on ideas like I was, just let the pros at ProfessionalTurf.com help you out. Get to the website. We're talking about a free in-person landscape design estimate. And while you're there, check out their other work. It's all at ProfessionalTurf.com. They've been doing superior lawn care, landscape and irrigation service since 82. Schedule that appointment right now, professionalturf.com.
I've got huge news coming up after John's news on Kathy Cargill.
All right. In national international news, the parents of that Michigan school shooter were each sentenced this morning to at least 10 years in prison for failing to take steps that could have prevented the killing of four students in 2021. Wow. Jennifer and James Crumbly are the first parents convicted in a U.S. mass school shooting. They were found guilty of involuntary manslaughter after prosecutors presented evidence of an unsecured gun at home and indifference toward the teen's mental health. Ethan Crumbly had drawn dark images of a gun, a bullet, and a wounded man on a math assignment, accompanied by despondent phrases. Staff at Oxford High School did not demand that he go home, but were surprised when the parents didn't volunteer any of that news during a brief meeting. Later that day, on November 30th, 2021, the 15-year-old pulled a handgun from his backpack, began shooting at the school. Ethan, now 17, is serving a life sentence for murder and other crimes. A state appeals court yesterday denying Donald Trump's bid for an emergency delay in his impending criminal trial in New York. Justice Elizabeth Gonzalez of the state appellate division issued the ruling after attorneys for the former president argued the trial needed to be halted because an impartial jury cannot be selected right now based on pretrial publicity. Gonzalez rejected the request in a one-line ruling late Monday. Trump's attorneys had filed the 11th-hour motion in an attempt to delay a trial that centers on charges that Trump falsified business records related to hush money payments. The long-shot legal maneuver came exactly 1 week before the first criminal trial of a former president is scheduled to start.
Your current administration, ladies and gentlemen, is making some news. We have a new plan to cancel student debt.
Yeah.
From your president, Vice President Kamala Harris, with the big giant canceling student debt sign behind her, offered up the following.
And so today, then, building on the work that we've done thus far, I'm announcing a new plan to forgive more loans for 25 million more Americans, including millions of our public servants. And that means, for example, if you've paid undergrad loans for 20 plus years or graduate loans for 25 or more years, your loans will be completely forgiven, regardless of your income, and even if you did not graduate. So I'm going to repeat that.
No,
if
don't.
You paid undergraduate loans for more than 20 years or graduate loans for more than 25 years, those loans will be completely forgiven regardless of your income and even if you did not graduate. And forgiveness will be automatic for the vast majority of the 25 million people that we believe will benefit from this approach. And to see if you could be eligible, I would urge everyone to go to studentaid.gov. That's studentaid.gov.
Wow.
Even if you didn't graduate, you get it. First of all, hi. If you took out a 25-year loan on an undergraduate degree, you're a freaking moron.
True. Well, what about the people that are now doctors and or lawyers and doing really well for themselves but have only paid the minimum and now it's going to be forgiven?
It's going to be forgiven because she said it doesn't matter what your income is.
When they, more than anybody, can afford to pay it off with one check.
Mm-hmm. You know what this tells me in all serious, because this is nothing but vote
buying. We don't have a country. That but should this, be evident to you by now.
Doesn't this strike you, though, as they're really terrified about November? That's what this screams of, doesn't it?
Well, she's trying to buy 25 million votes right there.
Right.
But you know what? We don't have a country, so what difference does it make? Mm-hmm. Who cares?
Okay. Noted.
Former President Trump's comments yesterday on abortion are causing some in-house fighting. Senator Lindsey Graham, fellow Republican, echoing other conservative Republicans and criticizing Trump's announcement that states should design their policies on abortion. The presumptive GOP presidential nominee wouldn't back a federal abortion ban on the type backed by Graham and other members of the Republican political base. Trump laced into Graham and other conservative critics by saying federal abortion bans are not popular with voters and could cost the Republicans elections, including his November showdown with President Biden, who's made abortion rights a centerpiece of the campaign. In a Truth Social post, Trump said, "I blame myself for Lindsey Graham because the only reason he won in the great state of South Carolina is because I endorsed him." Trump, as we told you yesterday, also getting heat from Marjorie Dannenfelser. She's the head of the Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life America group. She said her organization deeply disappointed. Trump also had harsh words for her. She said Graham should study the Constitution along with Dannenfelser about rights that are reserved for the states.
If Republicans want to win any more elections, they need to shut their mouths about this topic and just let it be. You're not going to win. Just shut up. There you go.
Meanwhile, the House is back in session today, and Marjorie Taylor Greene escalating her criticism of House Speaker Mike Johnson. As lawmakers return to work today after their two-week spring recess, the fresh onslaught from Taylor Greene dragged the still new speaker back into the Republican chaos. And Johnson may very well be unable to execute the basics of his job, according to folks who watch the House closely. Greene said on social media last night, "I sent a letter today to my colleagues explaining exactly why I filed a motion to vacate against Speaker Johnson." Greene, in stark terms, warned Johnson not to reach across the aisle to Democrats for votes he would need to pass pending legislation that hard-right Republicans oppose, especially aid to Ukraine. That aid package, as well as other agenda items, are in grave doubt. The standoff threatens to mire the House in another standstill, saddling the Republican majority with a do-nothing label as we head into election months coming up in November.
We don't have a country. Marjorie Taylor Greene is no different than Joy Behar.
We're so far apart.
We don't have a country.
And they're on both sides, Joe.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. She's no different than Joy Behar.
Well, except she's a congresswoman, and Joy Behar
doesn't make any difference. Joy Behar might as well be a congresswoman.
Behar.
Whatever the hell her name is. Yeah. And Marjorie Taylor Greene might as well be on The View. Beehive. We don't have a country.
Yeah.
In a new experiment, I think this is good. Ready? Yeah. Japanese scientists have proven the practice of writing down your irritations on paper, then destroying the paper.
Yeah, he did.
Right here. Show notes.
Kenny.
Now, after the show, according to this experiment, you should rip that up. Then you'll feel much better.
I throw it away the next day.
Get rid of your anger. See?
Reavers.
Thanks, Kenny. I do it pretty much after every show. Your guys' names and throw it away.
Am I on the list?
Definitely on the list. You're on the list.
Just me and Matt. We're good.
Thank you, brother.
We're besties.
Nobuyuki Kawai is lead researcher at Nagoya University. Cool. He said Nobuyuki Kawai.
Oh, the author of the study.
Yeah.
Joshiki Ganai.
We expected that our method would suppress anger to some extent. However, we were amazed that anger was almost eliminated entirely.
Wonderful.
In the experiments, the team set out to trigger angry feelings in a group of university students who were invited to write opinions on social issues, such as whether smoking in public should be outlawed. The volunteers were told their opinions would be evaluated, but instead, researchers scored everyone low on intelligence, logic, and rationality. To make sure these students were angered by the marking, each person's work also included the same insulting comment, which said, "I cannot believe an educated person would think like this." After handing back the negative comments, the researchers measured anger levels, asked participants to write down their thoughts on the feedback, and then either destroy the document by shredding it or saving it. They found the anger levels of the individuals who shredded their paper returned to their initial state of calm.
Boy, it's a long story.
Those who kept the feedback, this is why I make this list at the end of the show, who kept the feedback only had a small decrease in overall anger. Yes, Kenny.
But no, this is a great idea. We should all do this. Joy, right? She's on the list.
Yeah.
Marjorie's on the list.
Sonny Liston.
Everybody that you brought up earlier in the show about the eclipse is on the list.
Yeah.
That principal down in Chris's area. That
the food farmers are on the food list.
They're on the list.
Let's rethink I-794 Milwaukee. They're on the list.
They're going on the list.
Save Our Streets Minneapolis is on the list.
Right there.
The
list.
Yeah.
Third down.
You're going to run out of paper.
The Twins are on the list. They haven't awakened yet.
Oof.
Yeah, they cannot hit. Yeah.
If you get on the computer a lot and you just use it to peruse social media, ditch that crap today because I got a better job for you.
Oh,
check out the obit on this fella. I'll give you just a brief outline, but the details of his military service are incredible. Colonel Ralph Puckett commanded Army Rangers and airborne paratroopers through desperate defensive battles in two different wars. He died yesterday. He was 97 years old. One of the most revered figures in Army Ranger lore, Puckett led the defense of a position dubbed Hill 205 early in the Korean War against a force of Chinese soldiers several times larger than his 51-man Ranger unit. More than a decade later, he commanded 101st Airborne Paratroopers in an eerily similar defensive stand in Vietnam. He was awarded the Distinguished Service Cross for both battles. In May of 2021, his DSC for the defense of Hill 205 was upgraded to the Medal of Honor after years of lobbying from the Ranger community. Jeff Mellinger says of Puckett's Medal of Honor, and this is Jeff's words, he is an icon of the Army Rangers. Those who have met, listened to, or talked with Colonel Ralph Puckett are left not only in awe of his extensive and undaunted courage, but his humility and genuine warmth. He retired in 1971. He remained a fixture in the close-knit Ranger community. His influence and legacy
remained visible across the 75th Ranger Regiment. Puckett was also the honorary colonel of the regiment for dozens of years, a ceremonial post in which he regularly spoke to new Rangers and represented the regiment in public. If you read the entire obit, the stories of what he did in Korea and Vietnam are fascinating.
Where does one read this obit?
I saw the obit on, I believe it was on MSN.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, your attention, please. He's just accepted into heaven. Colonel Ralphie Puckett.
You were sitting on that. That was good. That was very good. Hold on before you move on. Speaking of the list, you might be on someone's list, and that would be Patrick James Stephen Roycey. I received a text message.
Yeah.
The package is now in the mail. No thanks to the mayor.
Oh, wow. The deed is done. The deed is done.
Wait a minute. Can't you mail the damn thing?
Yeah, you mail it back. That's how they get it.
Shit in a box.
I bet they're waiting.
Special like delivery.
Yeah, you're the intern package opener. Every package that comes in, you got to open
this,
up.
Track this package.
I don't know why he felt it necessary to tell us
Take
that.
The weekend to think about
it. How does it hold? You know? How does it hold?
It's like the size of a molar watch.
Let's just drop this.
Let's wrap it up here. Cellophane. Chris, maybe on, some man. Cellophane.
Do you know that Precision Garage Door is the official garage door opener, garage door opener?
Say that to me again.
Precision Garage Door is the official opener for the near the near opener. Mm-hmm. It hasn't happened yet. This Friday it could be. So make sure your garage door is in great condition with...
You're saying that Precision Garage Door of the Twin Cities is going to be the official garage door opener sponsor?
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
But in the meantime, just keep them in mind. They don't charge more for weekend visits. They try to complete their projects on the very first visit to your house, for which they keep you informed via text. And they're great with the new doors. A new door can increase the value of your home, give you that better curb appeal. You know, they're good with the doors. Also, it could provide better security. And how about some warmth?
Yeah.
Do you got insulation? A sturdiness, a well-maintained garage door can provide an additional layer of protection and improve the temperature in your garage and your home security. And you can integrate that with home security. Book online with Precision Door of the Twin Cities in Western Wisconsin, 612-263-6985. That schedules your free on-site new door estimate, not to mention your other problems that you might have with your current door. Right. Mention GL New Door Special and get $100 off a single car garage and $200 off any double door garage. It's precisiondoormn.com.
What'll I do?
Hit the song.
Please.
You cannot stop him. He'll just make a move. Joe Souchere.
In what Dave Downing is calling the greatest example yet of reporting isn't what it used to be, he has discovered from Wisconsin Public Radio, hats off to them, they did a big profile on Kathy Cargill.
Okay.
And who she is. She's an ore docker.
Mm-hmm.
The greatest high school team name in the country. Ashland High School Ore Dockers. She went to Ashland High School.
Come on, it's a local.
The papers were happy just to portray her as the evil billionaire.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody looked her up, including us. And there, I'm looking at her her high school graduation picture. Her name was Kathy Pospachella. Now, I know that it's a... we had in Matamita...
Pospachella.
You know what her name is? Posterity.
In prosperity.
No, there was a person when I was growing up with the same name. Spahala. It's Pospahala. That's how you'd pronounce it, I bet. Pospahala.
Okay.
But it's P-O-S-P-Y... Challa, Paspahala is how I'm going to pronounce it, okay. Based on my knowing this from my past.
Let's run
is
with that, that.
Greek or where's the?
I
what's
have
the
no
origin
idea
there?
What the hell that is.
Spell but it again for me.
POSP.
Yep.
Y.
Yep.
CH.
Yep.
A.
Yep.
LLA. I'm going to go with Paspahala. What?
I'm just looking for the where it was.
But what an interesting gal. She's from Ashland, Wisconsin. She, I got to cut through this because it's a very long piece. I advise you to look it up. It's fun. It's an interesting piece. She had no silver spoon upbringing. Her dad was the local tow truck driver. Hmm. This is the gal. She's from Ashland. And she's lived in several northwestern Wisconsin towns. She's she graduated from Ashland High School in 1976. And now that I think about it, I bet I have a cousin who went to high school with her
same
in
name.
Ashland.
I bet it was the same name.
What same name?
Paspahala.
No, I have a cousin.
Right. What was her name?
Suchere.
Well, that's not the same.
Can we?
Holy balls.
Jesus, Matt. So she graduated from high school in 1976.
Yep.
She's held various jobs. She's been a real estate agent. She's been a trail manager for the Wisconsin DNR.
She had a uniform and a badge.
Yeah, she did. Yeah. And she's had great positive relationships with her community. She's given back to it as well.
Cargo didn't miss that, did he?
Dan Ranierio dining at the Ashland Family Restaurant with friends who no one remembered the former Kathy Paspahala, whose family is well known for many pulling a car out of a ditch. And WPR reached out to two of Kathy Cargill's lawyers for comment by her or a representative for this story, but they didn't respond. She just sounds like a normal gal. Let's, who
one of the quotes that really raised the hackles of these hillbillies up in Duluth was her calling, what did she call these homes? Crap.
Yeah.
Crap.
Yeah.
Now, given what we know about her and where she was raised, does that put that into perspective for you? Because before I was kind of on the fence saying, well, you know, who is she to call these homes crap? But well, since she was raised in Wisconsin, we know that she knows what crap is. And I'm going to go with her saying these homes were crap.
I'm on board too, Kenny. I changed my tune immediately when I read this.
Her husband is James Cargill II. He's listed in records as a longtime resident of Birchwood, Wisconsin. The couple has homes in the Twin Cities, Colorado, and now Duluth. Both have been married before, Kathy twice. Kathy Paspahala I wonder if I'm pronouncing it correctly. I bet I am. She grew up in Ashland, where her family was based, except for a period in the early 60s in Wausau. Her dad is Patrick Paspahala, ran the local towing business. She married a classmate. They divorced in 1993. She remarried and lived in various towns in northwest Wisconsin, including Phillips in 2004.
Really?
Yeah,
I know Phillips well.
All right. Where she obtained a real estate license. She told the paper she had previously, that's according to the Price County Review, and she told that paper she had previously worked at the Bayfield County Sheriff's Department.
Nice.
I swear to God, I bet you Kathy knows some of my people. Because my Uncle Phil went to Bayfield.
That area?
And was the doctor for 100 years there and in Ashland. I swear to God, I think I got a cousin who might have been in the high school era of 76.
Such. Bet you $100 at one point in her life, she has actually uttered the phrase, you can leave that running, baby.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Her dad, I'm sorry, her husband was a DNR warden supervisor, and Kathy soon after joined the department, eventually becoming manager of the Tuscobia Trail.
Oh,
not far from Birchwood.
Oh, that runs right through winter Wisconsin. I've done about $120 on the Tuscobia on a snowmobile.
She and her second husband divorced in 2010 after marrying Cargill. She has maintained homes in several states. She's always returned to Ashland, and according to locals, has given back generously. Ranierio, the Ashland family restaurant patron, described a particular instance of Cargill's largesse. When one of Cargill's longtime Ashland friends was widowed, the now billionaire built her a new house.
You have one job, Joe Suchere.
What?
One job.
Okay.
I want you to disregard all other show prep. Forget about even doing a GL until you have her booked. We need her on this show.
Get this quote. Get this.
She needs us.
This might answer everything. When one of Cargill's longtime Ashland friends was widowed, the now billionaire built her a new house, Ranierio said. Yeah, tore the old one down. It was a piece of crap, and I mean it was. Really bad holes in the roof and everything, and then she tore that all down, and then she built him a new house and gave it to her.
What kind of houses are they building in Wisconsin?
She's a GLer.
She's a GLer.
My God. Well, you can't call her a patron saint yet.
No. Another Ashland resident who has known Cargill all his life and her younger brother, Mark Pospahala, who runs the family towing business today, but except for their dad's funeral in 2021, he says he hasn't seen his sister in 30 years and has never met her Cargill in-laws. I don't know. She's the third in the family. There's me and Mike and Kathy and Carol. Carol's the older, he said, oldest, adding that the siblings are enmeshed in a lawsuit between them that he did not want to discuss.
We're not going to get into that.
I have no idea what that means.
None of our business.
Recovering from a shattered elbow and broken femur from an accident last fall, he spoke while sitting horizontally in an easy chair with his feet propped up in the towing company office.
Oh, boy.
Then he described his family's life while growing up in Ashland. We lived east of town. We heated with firewood.
Cool. I mean,
which kind of house and cut wood? I don't know what the sentence went crazy here.
Printer, blame the printer.
Pospahala said neighbors and friends today have similarly reached out to help him since his accident. He expressed little envy for the wealth his estranged sister has come into. Money's nice, but when you're horizontal, that money ain't going to do you any good, he said.
Hey, ma'am.
All right. Someone who benefited from Cargill's affluence is Dan O'Neill, a retired union organizer who grew up in Park Point. Last summer, he sold his house to Cargill for $825,000, double what it was worth.
You think he knew your cousin?
Could be. He says his impression mostly came from talking to her. We had a nice conversation about what she wanted to do on my property, how she wanted to tie it into the environment and make it kind of a blend into the environment, he said, calling her personable, like I could be talking to any other of my neighbors. He said she told him she was building one of the Park Point homes for her grandson, whom he met, though O'Neill said she couldn't recall his name. Said he couldn't recall his name, O'Neill. If the grandson is her blood relative rather than a step-grandchild, then he would hail from the Pospahala line with roots in Ashland. Another Duluthian who says there's a different side of Kathy Cargill than that portrayed in the social media posts is Greg Grau, a retired professor of political science at the University of Minnesota Duluth. Grau, whose work has included significant research on the 1920 Duluth lynchings of three black circus workers, I am very familiar with that, and I'll tell you why in a moment,
but
said this
has nothing to do with Kathy. Well, why
said
did they
that
this
although
in?
The incidents are in no way comparable, the postings attacking her character are based on ignorance. He also said some All assumptions right. about her are plain incorrect, including a post saying the Cargills could not possibly have Native American familial connections. While Kathy Cargill's in-laws may not, her own family tree does include enrolled tribal members.
Hmm.
Her mother, Judith, was who was not Native American.
This gets it's complicated.
This was written poorly here. Sorry, WPR. I'll let that go. It's very interesting that she's an ore docker, Ashland High School, and as they wrap up the story, you can't get any more local than that.
I would say,
you know what, local. Let me just take a second to pat myself on the back. I was the first of all of us here to come out on the side of Kathy.
Well, you're on the PR team.
There's something about her that, without knowing it, that I knew she was a good person and a GLer, and well, we need to make it.
Why
you
didn't,
need to
why
make
didn't
it
you
your mission.
People look her up?
Because they're morons, and they're all a bunch of, well,
my
I'm
problem,
not get
Kenny,
into
with
that.
You is, and I'm agreeing with you, but being the billionaire sycophant that you are right now, I thought you should have brought this to the table.
What somebody makes is no concern of mine whatsoever.
Because
money doesn't change a person.
Once you're horizontal, you can't use it anyway, right?
I don't know what more I can do to entice Kathy to join us. I've written a column about her in which I was charitable. I'm not ripping her. I'm fascinated by her cars. If nothing else, Kathy, we could just do an hour on your cars, her collection of McLarens. If she ever felt the need, and I doubt that she does, but if she ever felt the need to speak out, I know there are people listening to this show who know the Cargills. Just extend an invitation on our behalf. Well, we'd be glad to have her on.
What is it with people that hate people that have money?
I don't know. I like money.
What is that?
Oprah Winfrey said,
right? Why
don't
is that?
Ever apologize for having money and being successful.
But I mean, Joe brought up all of Duluth hating on her, and that's why. It's just because of her last name.
Well, maybe they weren't informed. Maybe the Ashland side or the Birchwood side was, but...
Doesn't that high school picture just say 1976?
You gotta call
totally.
Your cousin. You got to call your cousin.
Frampton comes alive.
Oh, yeah. And then there's a picture
Mustang.
Of her with her DNR outfit on.
Va-va-voom, yep. Said James Cargill II.
Attractive young gal. She's an ore docker, for Pete's sake.
You don't tell me.
I like that fact that she's an ore docker. I'm going to go home and make some calls.
I want to start.
Clarence.
When we talk to her about cars, I want to start at the very beginning. What was your first car?
Well,
when did you fall in love with automobiles?
How do you go from her modest upbringing in Ashland, where the dad was the tow truck driver, how would she even have become aware of a McLaren?
Well, wait a minute. You just gave it away.
Oh.
Her dad was a tow truck
Maybe
driver.
Maybe she saw some neat stuff.
Are you kidding me? She was a little kid, and she was changing plugs, doing oil changes, rebuilding brakes.
Riding in the truck with the old man.
Absolutely.
Hauling a Corvette out of a ditch, maybe.
Absolutely.
She saw neat stuff, yeah.
I wonder when she learned to drive. That's going to be another. Were you 13? Were you 12?
No, six. She was six.
Well, if her dad was a tow truck driver. Yeah.
I'll save this in the event she wishes to ever join us. Am I
going
to hold my breath?
I know she'll be on.
I think she will, too.
Yep.
Kathy, we have a standing invitation. I like billionaires.
I want to know.
Billionaire.
I'm trying to be one.
What's her cylinder index?
Oh, God. In McLaren's alone, it's got to be.
Any of those V12s, Joe?
I think so.
Oh, boy.
Wow, that thing
that adds up fast then.
That goes to 0-60 in.
Matthew, please.
Yep.
You don't.
Super fast.
In fact, if we have her on.
No, I'm all over you. I've got to kiss up to a billionaire.
No, you're not allowed.
Kiss it up to a billionaire.
You're not allowed to build
it. I'm poor. Help me.
Because you're going to say some stupid stuff about cars. You're not going to be here.
Does your family like grains and weed and things?
Hey, Catherine, this is the rookie. Yeah. I don't know if I work out at the airport. I check baggage.
I've seen her at the airport. I'm going to remind her.
I really, really doubt that she's flying what you're flying.
Sun Country Coach?
Yeah.
Only no, because
a lot of stuff I didn't get to.
I gotcha. I'm probably your favorite character on the show. Basically, Mikulski is McMillan. McMillanski is what we are.
Right,
I got so much stuff I want to get to.
Positive Thursday.
Renewal by Anderson for the best windows.
Yep.
Tuesday.
In town.
That's right.
Anywhere in the country. I mean, they're made here, but you can get them anywhere. Renewal by Anderson with that new Acclaim window brings you only because.
Mm-hmm.
Only because they still are in Opatchy Junction. Not Opatchy. Opatchy Junction, Arizona. The Traveling Lymans.
Eclipse.
On this day.
April 9th.
In 1789, geographer David Thompson left the trading post of Jean-Baptiste Cadot on Red Lake River. Oh, reading the wrong page.
Yep.
Shoot. On Red Lake River, beginning the last part of his 4,000-mile journey of the northern wilderness, the first scientific study of the state. Beginning in Grand Portage in August of 1788, he traveled to the upper Missouri River and then through Minnesota, where he wintered with Cadott. He would complete his trip by returning to Grand Portage in June.
How do you winter with someone?
On this day.
I see light spooning.
You know what? Don't you have someplace to go?
In the yurt. In the yurt.
No, not in the winter. It's not light. It's pretty aggressive.
Oh, it's okay.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's gotcha. Aggressive spooning.
Well, you got to warm up somehow.
Jesus.
You know, I think
the thing with Rook is, I kind of thought the same thing, but I wasn't going to say anything.
You said he wintered with somebody. If I'm going to winter with you, we're going to be very close.
You and Joe should winter together.
Yeah.
On this day.
That would be fun.
In 1839, Roseanne Perry married James Cluett in St. Paul's first Christian wedding, officiated by the Reverend J.W. Pope, a Methodist missionary in Kaposia, which is South St. Paul.
Sure.
On this day. In 1849, Minnesota received word that it was a territory of the United States, a month after the bill was approved by President James K. Polk.
Wow. Takes a while Pennington for word Pine, to get around.
Pipestone, yeah. Polk, and what's the other P county? Pennington Pine.
Pipestone?
And Pipestone. No, Pennington Pine, Pipestone. Pennington Pine, Pipestone, Polk, Polk. And Polk. Oh.
You know, it is better to winter than summer. There's a lot of sweating.
On this day, on this day, 4-9. In 1939, a fire inside a stable killed 128 trained horses belonging to Battery F of the 14th Field Artillery at Fort Snelling.
Holy wow. Buckets. That's sad.
We were keeping horses as recently as World War II.
1939?
Oh, yeah. On this day,
April 9th,
in 2000, the Anderson Library at the University of Minnesota opened, named in honor of Elmer L. Anderson, former governor, university regent, and bibliophile. Library materials from around the state were stored in two man-made caverns, each two stories high and two football fields long, carved into the sandstone bluffs along the Mississippi River.
Wow.
And finally, on this day,
April 9th,
in 2006, the Minnesota Immigration with Dignity March drew more than 30,000 people who supported extending legal status to undocumented workers, championing family reunification and comprehensive reform. Immigrants and their supporters marched from the Cathedral of St. Paul to the Capitol.
Huh.
Not a long march.
No.
Anything, anything in there about 1965?
On April 9th?
In April 9th, 19... Well, we don't do birthdays.
Oh, that was Kenny's birthday.
Ow.
Jeez, John,
Kenny,
what was
like
that?
Kenny, we'd like to sing happy birthday
to you. That was my guitar banging off the chair.
Before you play bong hits.
I was going to play this for Kenny. Everybody want to sing?
Yep. You say it's your birthday.
You say it's your birthday. But do you? How do you get there?
Happy birthday.
Chapuri.
I think we'll quit.
Happy birthday to you.
That was disappointing.
9 and 5 is 14.
Happy birthday to you.
He's 59.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you.
59 years old. He's just a kid, ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing for your birthday tonight?
Yeah, what are your plans, Kenny?
None of your business.
Got plans?
You going to the...
The wife got a cake for you? Got plans?
Oh, they're going downtown.
Go out candles?
Gonna go out to dinner down to the cafe?
Yep, supper. Gonna get some supper.
Going into the town? Yep. Going into town there? They got a supper place?
A little tall boy.
Get some pie?
Where's my tall boy?
I just want it to be noted for the record that I'm the only one, Kenny, that didn't make fun of you.
I just want to know, for the record, I'm the one that made fun of you the most.
Happy birthday plans, Kenny.
He's going to sign up for the Target Field takeover.
That's what you're doing tonight?
With the Garage Logic Town Council. Yeah. See ya. It is time once again that we check in with our guy, Mr. Money Talk. Josh Arnold is with us once again here in Garage Logic, and now's the time for you to do the same. So do not delay. Do exactly what I did and pick up that phone and dial 952-925-5608. That number once again is 952-925-5608. You call that number, you get Josh, and he is there for you for that free, yes, I said free, no obligation, 48-minute financial consultation, and he's on the line with us once again here in Garage Logic. And Josh, today I'd like to start with an email question from a loyal listener, Steve, who said, Josh, I heard you briefly mention a tax deductible Roth IRA question mark. Is that what you said on last week's show?
Well, Roth IRAs are one of several different deductible retirement accounts. A Roth IRA is money that you've already paid taxes on. So it's after tax money that goes into an account. The Roth IRA, so it's after-tax money going into the Roth IRA. The money will accumulate without taxes, and as long as the money is in there for 5 years, any money that you pull out is non-tax. When I was talking about a tax-deductible IRA, that's just the ordinary straight-up IRA where you can put, say, up to $7,500, depending on your age, into this account, take the tax deduction, and if you have not done so prior to you filing your taxes for last year, 2023, you can still get that tax deduction for 2023 for putting money into this tax-deductible IRA. If you are self-employed, you can still, until you file your taxes, make your contribution for an SEP, Simplified Employee Pension Plan, and you can put up to 25% of your net income into that. And I believe the maximum is $60,000. You can then invest these monies depending on your risk tolerance. You have no risk. You know, banks offer tax-deductible IRAs, and you get whatever interest the bank pays for however long the CD is there. You can put this into insurance annuities, which I am not a believer in. If you want to buy insurance or get an insurance product, go buy some life insurance, and you can accumulate some cash value within that. And there are some tremendous benefits for whole life insurance and accumulating some cash value. But I recommend investing in individual stocks, or if you want, mutual funds within these retirement accounts. Of course, when you're investing in individual stocks or mutual funds, values do go up and down based on what the market is doing and what the, if it's a fund, what the fund is holding. I am not recommending investing in bonds. I'll leave that to insurance companies or others who want the fixed income, but bonds can lose value from the time you buy them until the time they come due, because they're going to fluctuate in value based on changes in interest rates. As interest rates go up, which is something we've talked about, bond values do go down. All you have to do is look at some of the bond indexes, such as TLT, which is a long-term government bond index. And you can see when interest rates were moving up substantially in 2022, TLT lost in value. Well, I'll say lost a third of its value. Went from $150 a share to $100 a share. And that drop in value was similar in 2022 to the drop in the NASDAQ index. TLT in 2023 did not recover that loss in value, as the NASDAQ index moved up quite substantially last year. Just the difference where you're investing your money. I like investing in owned assets as in equities. Now, of course, there is a lot of risk, a lot more risk because of the fluctuations. And there's even differences between different companies that you might invest in. My focus has always been in companies involved in the internet, leisure-related businesses, China-related businesses without necessarily investing in China, and real assets such as real estate. So I hope that helps. See, moving on, the market is back concerned with the Fed and what the Fed is going to do with interest rates, given this week basically have both the CPI, Consumer Price Index, and the PPI, the Producer Price Index, coming out, not to mention the reading of the Fed minutes. So market watchers are going to be especially concerned tomorrow when the CPI and the Fed minutes come out. I am of the belief that the Fed may not cut interest rates until after the election and may not even cut interest rates at all this year, particularly if the inflation numbers are a little bit stronger than they anticipated. And you could see that with the price of oil still being up, wages are still up, and of course, people are working, which I think is a good thing. Some may disagree, but I think that's a very good thing. But in any case, people are going to be watching the Fed and how that's going to impact the stock and bond market. I, however, am going to be focusing not so much on the Fed, but on earnings, as earnings start coming out at the end of this week, starting with banks and local companies like Delta Airlines. And Delta, well, I'm not an airline investor for a lot of reasons, as similar to investing in cars. I love cars. I like traveling on airplanes, but too many cost issues related to the both, so I stay away. On the other hand, I do like travel-related stock, and Delta's, any positive news from Delta could have a positive impact on companies like Bookings.com, Expedia, Airbnb, among others.
Excellent advice, Mr. Money Talk. You heard him, GLers. Now is the time for you to pick up the phone and make the call for that free 48-minute financial consultation by dialing 952-925-5608, where you always get straight talk and never, ever sugar-coated advice. Josh, once again, thank you so much for the time and the chat. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again on Thursday.
Well, let's hope the Twins start winning.
No doubt.
Let's hope the Twins start winning.
Talk to you then.
Thanks.
Investment services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC, a security investment advisor. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk. All comments and opinions are Josh Arnold's and do not constitute investment advice.
Chris Reavers is a paid endorser.